I'd like to read in the book of Hebrews tonight in chapter 3, near the end of our Bible. Hebrews chapter 3, and I would just like to read part of verse 7 and part of verse 8. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7. And it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." It's really the last 11 words that are upon my mind tonight, and I trust that God will give us help to speak clearly from them. These 11 words aptly describe all that we are encompassing tonight. It's a very simple message, only 11 words, words that are easily understood. But I believe the importance of this very direct, simple message finds a place in all of our hearts tonight. For God says, by the Spirit of God today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Do you understand that in this simple message is really the kernel of all that God is doing tonight? The reason for this gospel series that we are drawing to the close of is really found in these 11 words. Because we find that as the writer to the Hebrews is addressing these people, that these are individuals that are surrounded by divine blessings. Truth has been extended to them. God has spoken to them. And the blessings of God have surrounded their life. They have been brought right into view. And as people are brought into contact with divine blessings and truth, there is going to be a response. And the same is true in 1996 on this Friday night here in this auditorium. There is always a response to God's dealings. No one is neutral in our meeting tonight. There are those that will leave and they'll hear the word of God and they'll go out that door and they will say, "I'm not interested." There'll be others that will sit in the same meeting and they will say, "That was very interesting. I should consider it." But they put it off. There are others that will hear the very same message again and something strikes their hearts. The Spirit of God will touch their conscience. And they will leave the meeting saying, those words are true. And if you're honest, if you understand the import and the importance of these meetings, then, friend, there will be a response toward God and acceptance of what He's provided. Every single individual here tonight, whether in the front row or the back row, will respond to what God says. And so when people are brought into contact with divine blessing and divine truth, there is a response. But what this message tells us is that there must be a day of response. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 and 8 tell us that there is a time specified. And it tells us that there is a voice to be regarded. And it makes it very clear that there is a danger that God says to avoid. And as this writer is writing these words, he's actually looking back in history. And he remembers that there was a time when there were other people, a nation of Israel, that heard the voice of God. They felt the evidence of God's hand in their midst. They knew that they were dealing with the great God that we've been singing of. And they made a response. But oh, how tragic was their response. They failed to understand that the God that was speaking to them was the God that was worth obeying. And they made light of their blessings. They despised the word of God. They missed their day of opportunity. And now as the writer is looking back to their day and to the tragic, sad course and the consequences of that course, he writes with deep emotion and feeling. And he writes to his generation, and he says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." You know that that is the same message for 1996 for this Friday night in October? God says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Tell me, why is today so important? You know, we're all dealing with time. Hard to believe that almost 3 weeks have come and gone in these meetings. Just things have slipped by. And I can't help but sense that our life is just like that. When we were young, life stretched out before us and it seemed to be endless. And I don't know whether it's beginning to show on me because of 47 years having slipped by, but all of a sudden I'm becoming keenly aware that I'm well over the halfway mark and maybe far, far closer to the end than I realize. I can remember when God saved me at the age of 21. Never thought that 25 years later would see me in Toronto. It's gone just like that. And you know, as we look at this single word today, God wants us to understand the value of this day. You know, the world counts in terms of years. We all have birthdays and we say we are so many years old. But you know that God does not count in terms of years, but He counts in terms of days. Moses understood that. And he said, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Do you remember the man in Luke chapter 12? His story has been mentioned a number of times in these meetings. A man who was extremely successful. A man whose crops brought forth such an abundance of harvest that he didn't know what to do with them. And you'll recall how he sat down and mapped out that wonderful plan. And then he said to himself, he said, soul, you've got many good for many years. And it seemed so secure. It seemed so guaranteed as he looked down the road of life right on to a retirement. And he says, it's all settled. Many years. And all of a sudden, his plans were interrupted by the voice of God when God said, young man or old man, tonight, this night. I trust you understand how important today is. You see, today is God's time. Not tomorrow, today. What kind of a day is today? God's word makes it very clear that today is a day of obligation. I trust as you sit on the sound of the gospel, you understand that this is not an optional message. We are not here to try and win converts for our church. We have nothing to join. We say that in all honesty. But we are here with a message from heaven. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And tonight as we preach the gospel, we want you to understand that this message comes from heaven. This message concerns eternity. This message concerns your destiny for eternity. This message touches heaven and reaches hell. This message takes us to Calvary. And God tells this world tonight that this is a day when all men everywhere must repent. This is a day when God says you must turn to Christ or you'll perish. And as we look at our Bibles, we understand the tremendous force of the gospel. Not an optional message, an absolute necessity in 1996. I'm not sure what you're trusting in to take you to heaven. But unless you know the Christ of the gospel, unless you're trusting the precious blood of Christ alone, you are never going to make heaven. But I think of today as not only a day of obligation, but friend, this is a day of opportunity. Do you understand what 1996 means? For almost 2,000 years, God has wonderfully weighted, and graciously invited men and women to come to Him for salvation. What a wonderful day of opportunity this is. God is not asking you to do anything for salvation. In fact, He's inviting you to come and receive an absolutely free gift. And tonight the door of salvation is still open. God has waited all of these years because He doesn't want anybody to perish. And in this day of opportunity, we understand that God is doing a work for His glory. A work of rescuing souls. A work of delivering men and women from perishing in their sins in hell forever. And tonight, this day of opportunity is still here. God has given us His words. God has sent His Holy Spirit. God has exercised Christians here in Toronto to rent a building like this with all of its work and labor and expense just to make men and women have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And we're thankful tonight that you've been willing to come because you see, this is God's golden day of opportunity. Tell me, what have you done with God's blessings? What have you done with God's invitation? What has your response been to the open door? Reminds me of an incident exactly 80 years ago this past July. I'm not sure exactly how far north it is, but I would venture to say it's likely 200 to 300 miles north of Toronto. There still exists the little town of Matheson on the south side of the Black River. And when those town folk woke up back in 1916 in the month of July, and the month had been a hot month, and the pine forests and the rich forest land all around that town were as dry as dust, they woke up that July morning and what they had begun to smell they now saw. Away to the northwest there were large dark clouds, billows of clouds, and they knew one thing: those clouds meant fire. 7 o'clock, the telegraph operator at Matheson wired up to Cochrane, 50 miles north. And he said, "Is there any sign of fire?" And that operator telegraphed back to the operator there in Matheson. He says, "No, sir, there's no fire, but there's plenty of smoke." 10 o'clock, 3 hours later, a farmer on horseback galloped into Cochrane, shouting, "The whole world is on fire!" But down in Matheson, it was still quite removed. And by mid-morning, late morning, a freight train pulled into the station. Behind that locomotive were 20 empty boxcars. And that train stopped at Matheson. The conductor and the engineer got out, and a large crowd had gathered. And the conductor told those people about the growing danger of the forest fire racing through the timberlands. And he encouraged people, and he urged people, board the train, there's plenty of room. And sure enough, every boxcar had their door open. And one by one, to a man, every single resident of Matheson said, "No." That conductor finally looked at his watch, and he gave the order, and the train pulled out. 3:30, same day, fire struck Matheson, and before 15 minutes had elapsed, that town had been flattened, and by the time that fire had raced through that area, 300 bodies were found in the next 10-mile range. They were all hurrying for the river, but they never made it. Day of opportunity, empty boxcars, open doors, pleading voices. They never realized that was their golden opportunity to get to safety. As I think of this meeting, God alone knows whether this is your final invitation. Thank God the door is still open. Thank God heaven's invitation is still come. But God says today, do you know that this is a day of divine promise? God has promised that those that seek me early shall find me. And for those that come to a meeting like this longing to know their sins forgiven, I can tell you that there's a Savior, and He longs that you might meet tonight. I'm thrilled as I look over the past 3 weeks, and there have been people that have come to these meetings, and they've walked in with a desire and with a purpose in their heart. I'm not going to leave until it settles. And you know something? They left on their way to heaven, saved by the precious blood of Christ. It's a day of opportunity. It's a day of promise. It's a day of divine invitation. Tell me, what will you do with this day? No guarantee of tomorrow, girls. No guarantee of next week, young man. God says today, if ye will hear His voice. Do you know that hearing His voice is life's greatest blessing? I'm well aware that there's likely people here tonight that I have never met. I know that definitely. And you might be some of the wealthiest individuals in Toronto, but I can tell you tonight that life's greatest blessing is to hear His voice. To hear God speaking to me. And you know, that's exactly what God desires to do. And what God has been doing all of these days and all of these years. God speaks to people. And tonight He's speaking again. You might say, well, now, how does God speak? God's interest is seen in a variety of ways, but could I tell you tonight very simply that God has spoken unmistakably in fullness in two wonderful ways. He has spoken by the living Word, and He speaks by the written Word. There was a moment when God revealed Himself as a man, when the fullness of God was seen in flesh and blood. The Bible says the Word, the full expression of all that God is, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And down from the glory the Savior came. The mighty Creator became a man. We could talk to Him. We could walk along the road with Him. We could feel His hands. We could hear His voice. And my friend, if you want to know what God is like, look at Christ. We've been singing of the greatness of the God that has made creation. And yet as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the fullness of God in His blessed person. If you'd like to know the sympathy of His heart, look at Christ. There was a day when that lovely man stood over a city looking at all the lights and all the people, and his heart was touched and he began to weep. If you want to see the greatness of His power, look at Christ. Moment came when He spoke the Word, and a sea went flat calm. When He spoke the Word, and a man who had been dead 4 days was raised again, brought back to life, the greatness of His power. If you want to know the truthfulness of God, look at Christ. And as you listen to His Word, I trust you'll be touched like others when you'll say, never man spake like this man. If you want to know what the grace of God is like, look at Christ. A man who is rich will never fathom His riches. But the Bible says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen in this way, that the rich one became the poor one, just so that we, through His poverty, might be made rich, that we might be blessed. And tonight the heart of God has been revealed in all of its fullness. And the love of God was expressed at Calvary. What's God's love like? Oh, look at the cross. God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when the Father sent the Son, He sent Him to die. He sent Him to lay down His life as a payment for our sins. He sent Him to go to the awful suffering of the tree that salvation might be accomplished. God has spoken unto us by his Son. What have you done with the living word? Oh, but you say, sir, I wasn't back there. I wasn't living there. I've never seen Christ. I want to say, friend, God has been speaking to us through his word. You see, it's a wonderful thing to be able to pick up a book and understand this is God's words. And as we read these words, we are brought to understand that God is speaking to us. And could I say that if you've never heard the voice of God to you, is it possible that you've never read God's letter? You see, this is God's letter to us. And if God sent you a letter, would you bother to open it? Would you bother to read it? Because as we read God's word, God speaks to us. Could I just illustrate this, that as we read words, messages and information are conveyed to us? In fact, there have been people in this audience this week that have picked up a newspaper and have seen words on a piece of paper describing a sale. And because of that little bit of ink on a white piece of paper, they have gotten in their car and gone down the road to make the purchase. Now, they never talked to the owner of that store. It could have been false information. But because of what they read, so much ink on so much paper, they responded to what they understood. Ah, far more, I want to say, God has spoken to us by his word. God breathed. God has revealed his will. God has revealed his purpose. God has revealed his standard. God has revealed his invitation and provision. And as I read God's word, I come to understand I have a need because of my sin. The great physician puts his finger on the problem and he says, young man, you're a sinner. And I stand condemned. I stand unhealthy before God. And as I read God's word, I understand there must be a new birth. Unless a man is born again, he'll never see nor enter the kingdom of heaven. Never make it! And yet as I read God's word, I'm made aware of why Jesus went to the cross. And I'm made aware of what happened there. I've often thought, if all we had were those two words, Christ died. My, those are wonderful words, aren't they? But if all we had tonight were those two words, Christ died, all we would have would be an historical fact. But I'm so thankful that God, by the Spirit of God, has added another three words. And the Bible says Christ died. Oh, that's true. But it says Christ died for our sins. And as I read this book, I am made aware that God has moved toward me in grace. He's included me in his provision. And he has provided a Savior who has been willing to die in my place for my sins. Today, you will hear his voice. Every single one here tonight will hear that voice. The voice of the living God through his word. But there's going to be a response. The Spirit of God says, harden not your heart. Don't say no to that voice. How do you harden your heart as I sit down? You can do it in a variety of ways. You could just walk out of this meeting, and by your steps you're saying, I'm just not interested tonight. You can say in the quietness of your soul, I intend to get saved, but not tonight. And you leave, putting it off, hardening your heart, saying no to Christ. Saying no to the invitation of God. And one of these days, one of these meetings, one of these moments, God will recognize your choice. And he will seal your response for eternity. How dreadful, how tragic to say no to Christ with an intention to get saved someday. But God will take you at your word.
and you'll remain in your sins forever. That's why tonight, this day, is a very, very solemn moment. I trust as the gospel is further preached that you might not harden your vote for your heart, but that you might receive Christ and come into the blessing of God's great salvation.